Denise Blancett. She is the executive director of the Tulsa Air and Space Museum. And, of course, if you're not familiar with it, I know you've heard it in the news for this or that a few over the years, just adjacent to Tulsa International Airport. And first of all, Tanya, thanks for coming in this morning. Always happy to see aviation folks in Bartlesville.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
And, of course, I know you have an event coming up a little bit later on, but just, again, an overview of the Air and Space Museum. I've been there a number of times. You've got a great planetarium in the building, but that's a separate attraction almost. What a great display for, I'll say, somebody like me with around 20-some years of Air Force experience.
Yeah, the Tulsa Air and Space Museum, our mission supports STEM education and inspiring young people to pursue STEM careers, especially in aviation. A lot of the workforce and industry around the aviation community in Tulsa is aging.
Sure.
And they just don't have enough skilled workers to replace all of the ones that are ready to retire. And so we try to get the youngsters in the door, and you know, we let them sit inside of a jet cockpit. Mm-hmm. And many of our planetarium programs are based on aviation.
Sure.
And they're very inspiring. And so we get, you know, last year we had over 26,000 students through our doors. And so that about 100 students a day is our max that we can handle. So we're pursuing a capital campaign project to more than double our size.
Mm-hmm.
Have a Mars exhibit. We've had some folks from NASA up a couple of times, and we've been down there putting together what that NASA exhibit would look like, because the kids that are in preschool and kindergarten right now, they're the ones that are going to go to Mars.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm dating myself a little bit. I grew up, we were hot in the space race, and growing up in central Illinois, I had my grandmother's over the backyard fence neighbor, so to speak. He was a few years older than me. We used to play catch back and forth over the backyard fence. He ended up being America's 100th astronaut, Steve Nagel. And so I've always had it from childhood on an interest, of course, in space. By the time I got into high school, I think my freshman year, my dad was studying for his private pilot's license. And so that was always fun to be around. And I guess that led to about 26 years of either active duty or Air National Guard military experience for me with the Air Force or Air Guard. And when you look at just the things that are going on, of course, pilot takes a lot of science knowledge, whether it's navigation or a Bernoulli's principle as far as why this the thing gets in the air in the first place. And then you look at all the other things on navigational aids, Air Force every aviation communications equipment, a lot of electronic stuff there. And that's just tapping into some of the STEM stuff that I do know about.
Oh my gosh, you know, there's so many exciting things that we can get these youngsters inspired. You know, Oklahoma is no stranger to being the leader in aviation. You know, Wiley Post.
I'm going to say, I think we've got, you know, things like airports named after aviators for a reason.
Absolutely. You know, Wiley, I have to tell the story. Wiley Post was from Maysville, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother lived there.
Inventor of the spacesuit.
You know? He did.
Yeah.
The first pressurized suit.
Yeah.
And I asked my grandmother, I said, did you ever know Wiley Post? And she laughed and she said, that crazy fool, he used to sell airplane rides for a dollar when I was a kid. So, you know, we have it in our blood, and we really need to support that and encourage our kids to pursue those careers.
That's right. And it's whether they pursue it for, you know, their working on maintenance of aviation equipment or actual in the air. It's fun, but it's a lot of work, and it does take those STEM skills to know what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, aviation plays such a strong role in our history, too. If we think back to World War II,
mm-hmm.
You know, the nostalgia is so thick when we think about our family members that served in World War II. And the Douglas plant in Tulsa, which now is a school bus facility.
Sure.
They build school buses there, but it was a top secret place, and they built B-24s and A-26s, and that's where Rosie the Riveters came
right
to life, were in these factories. And we have tons of people that walk in and bring pictures and bring things to donate to the museum. And it's their grandmothers that were Rosie the Riveters. And so we have the Commemorative Air Force, their Air Power History Tour,
mm-hmm.
is going to visit September 12th through the 16th. And they're bringing the B-29. You know, there's only two left that fly.
That's right.
And it's just amazing. And so they're bringing the B-29 and several other fabulous, beautiful planes. Mm-hmm. And we're having a 1940s hangar dance on Friday night. And in fact, we got the tickets on sale right now, and the prices go up tomorrow. So if people are interested, today would be a good day to get on our website.
That's the best day to buy your tickets.
Absolutely, right? It'll be a fabulous evening. You know, I can't say enough about it. These crew members that spend so much of their time to keep these old planes flying, mm-hmm. and in such great shape. One of the planes that was supposed to come, but it can't. It was called Diamond Lil. It was a B-24.
Right.
And it was supposed to come, but it's still having some renovation. And, you know, you just can't rush these things.
No.
So we'll try to get Diamond Lil up at another time. But, you know, Diamond Lil was renovated in Tulsa.
Yes.
At Tulsa Community College. And it's got a deep-rooted connection into the Tulsa area.
Well, of course, the Air and Space Museum, in the past, you've had the B-29 there in the past. You've had some mm-hmm. other great aircraft there for displays. And B-29 took media tours, so I got the opportunity to fly in it. And it was just a great experience to be able to connect with that generation of aviation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wasn't that the greatest generation?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the pictures and the workforce that really came together to do what we needed to do at that time when our country was in need. And I believe the media, they're going to do another media event, and that's going to be Monday at noon. So
okay.
That's not open to the public, but for the media again. So mm-hmm. we might have some other people out there listening saying, hey, I'm a media. I'm going to show up. Yeah, I'm in the media.
I think I probably know all the folks in the area, but it could be, you know, somebody out there that's brand new that needs that ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've got some other aircraft. I was still in high school, got the opportunity to take a ride in a P-51. And just one of the fastest aircraft of its day. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it was another one of those great experiences.
Yeah, it's just going to be a joy to have all of these planes sitting there at the museum, right outside of our gate, right on the taxiway. And so the public can come and, you know, reach up and touch them. I mean, they're going to be that close and just think back to a different generation, a different time. And we're just so fortunate these people put their talent and their skill into keeping these things alive for us. They're living pieces of history.
Sure. And if people if they take a tour, step inside your doors, the exhibits that you've got there,
mm-hmm.
Again, doing what we're already talking about, getting, you know, being able to see the stories behind the people and the equipment that got us into space. You know, it's a great experience.
It is a great experience. We have probably one of the largest collection of Bill Pogue, you know, artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Bill was, when Bill was still alive, and for those who don't know, he was an astronaut with Skylab missions, and
right.
he supported many of the Apollo missions
uh-huh.
On the ground. And, you know, he lived in Sand Springs, and parents were teachers, and just salt of the earth, Oklahoman. And he was an honorary board member and gave us a lot of his things. And so last January, which is his birth month, we had a wonderful exhibit up and remembered him, and his family members came by. And his sister's a teacher, and she brought her students. And so that's what it's about. It's about remembering the past and passing it to the future. And, you know, some of the artifacts we have at the museum are one of a kind.
Right.
Did you know that?
I probably did, but I hadn't really thought about it. Yeah.
Well, you know, Spartan Aviation, it doesn't exist anymore. Now we have it's the Spartan School of Aviation,
right.
where, you know, people weren't learned to get their A&P certificates and fly.
Right.
But it used to build aircraft.
Yes.
And we have the very last plane that they built.
Okay.
And that was the Spartan Executive Model 12, and it was the only one built.
Mm-hmm.
So they built this one as a prototype, and they decided to build campers.
Right.
And so this is the last plane, and throughout the years, it found its way back to us several years ago. And so it's, you know, serial number one. And it's a beautiful silver plane with red artwork, and, you know, it's one of a kind. And, you know, we've got several things like that in our museum that are one of a kind.
And it's nice that the public can get up close and personal, peek inside, and take a look at what could have been a great line of aircraft.
Absolutely. And we have a F-14, which mm-hmm. is a Top Gun
right.
fighter jet, and we have that there. And there's a gentleman here in Bartlesville. His name's on it because he was part of that he was a pilot.
Right.
And so everything we have, we try to connect back to Oklahoma and Tulsa. And, you know, Oklahoma has such a rich aviation history. And we're working on developing more STEM activities for kids and mm-hmm. programming. We had fabulous summer camps with 3D printing.
Okay.
And we're in a capital expansion project where we need to double our size. You know, we only have one classroom right now, and we need a few more. So we need to increase our size, increase our content. We're out of space for new planes. I mean, it's a wonderful problem to have, right?
It is. If somebody were to donate a C5A to you, you couldn't get inside anyway. So
exactly right.
this is something you need the space. You need to be able to expand not only your physical facility of the building, but the air space around the building so that you can get more static displays outside.
Absolutely. We do have a static display coming soon. It's a MiG-21.
Okay.
And one of our board members is donating that to the museum, and we're hoping to have it up by the end of September. So imagine these little children when they are pulling into our parking lot on a field trip, and they look over and see, you know, this very exciting MiG-21 static display outside. We've got our MD-80, which is the big American Airlines jet that was donated. Most people don't know this, but the inside of that plane has a Discovery Center in it. And it's got a fabulous educational program that really inspires about education. People can have birthday parties in the MD-80. And, you know, a lot of companies and family reunions and other events like that, they come and have their events at the museum. What better than to be married in front of an MP-1, right?
Sure.
And so for those that don't know what MP-1, it's the yellow biplane that the Navy used as trainers. First President Bush trained in one.
Yes.
And ours is the only one left that's still flight-worthy. Someone renovated it, and then it actually flew into the museum on its last flight before it was donated to the museum.
That is really neat. You know, that and the whole Stearman line of aircraft that was used for World War II and even into Vietnam era, it was still a great trainer aircraft for the Air Force.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing during all the commemorative Air Force is at the museum from September 12th through the 16th is on September 15th, which is Saturday.
Right.
We're doing a Women in Aviation event. And we have a great group of women that are, you know, affiliated with aviation, from the Air National Guard unit to all of the local companies, American Airlines, Spirit, Tulsa Community College, Tulsa Tech, OSU Aviation. We've got women from all of those organizations putting their heads together right now, creating some really cool events for that day and for the future. We want to really promote women in aviation. You know, aviation is a crisis right now. They just don't have enough people. We're shortage of pilots, shortage of mechanics, shortage of every profession, whether it's logistics, maintenance, every aspect of that industry right now. It's growing so fast, and they just can't keep up. And so that's what we want to do. We want to spread the word and encourage, you know, all children to pursue those careers, and especially girls.
Sure.
Because there's so many doors open for them now.
Absolutely. But you have to have done the groundwork at the elementary school ages in order to really develop the like for math or science along the way to be able to develop those skills. Capital event, I want to spend just a minute or two on that, because that takes donations. That takes people giving their money, whether it's $50, $500, or $5,000. All gifts are needed.
Absolutely. And so that capital campaign, we're fixing to launch that. We've already received a few donations to get started. We're looking at the expansion between 15 to 20 million. And what that would do is it increase our hangar space. And, you know, right now you currently have to, you know, go out the front doors of the museum and walk down the sidewalk to go into our beautiful planetarium. And so that would connect all the way over to the planetarium. The giant MD-80 jet that sits outside, it would be inside the new hangar space. And then we would add, you know, the Mars exhibit and, you know, extra classroom space.
Yeah.
So it's a much needed expansion. We're busting at the seams, which, you know, like I said, is a great problem to have. And if people are interested in donating, no amount is too small, because it's all about the future, and it's all about, you know, promoting STEM and aviation. And, you know, whenever we do these things, it improves the economic development of our state.
Can we make the donation online?
Absolutely. They just need to go to our website at tulsamuseum.org.
Sounds like a great idea.
Thanks.
Hours for the, if people would like to make a, say, a weekend trip down there. I mean, Labor Day weekend is a reason they got Monday off. So let's send people to the museum. What kind of weekend hours you got for us?
Okay, so this particular weekend for Labor Day, we are open on Labor Day. So we're open on Saturday, tomorrow. 10 to 4.
Okay.
So 10 to 4, and we're closed on Sunday. And then Monday on Labor Day, we're open 10 to 4.
sounds like a great deal. Take the family in the car and make that short drive to the north side of Tulsa and head over to the Tulsa Air and Space Museum. It is a fascinating experience. If you've been there, take the kids. You'll enjoy it again because there's something you didn't see last time. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. Again, Tanya Blansett, our guest this morning on a Community Connection on 1400 K1. And suggest those trips for scout trips, too. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, they always are looking for events to head on out. Mm-hmm. So, again, check that out at the Tulsa Air and Space Museum. That's our Community Connection on 1400 K1, brought to you this morning by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. News on the way next.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. The Archdiocese of Oklahoma City has